Hello, everyone. Welcome to Prusa Live 24. Super happy to have you guys here on this Wednesday. I am joined with Nicholas Sousa, as always, and the returning after his very, very awesome win, Joseph Prusa, winning Czech Entrepreneur of the Year during our show last time.
Yes.
We told you guys it was a maybe, and he's the winner.
Oh, but I thought I send you the picture in time.
We were doing
we missed it.
We are doing the part before you send it, and then we were just in the middle of it and we missed it.
Right.
Yeah. So wish us luck in the international round, the worldwide round.
Yeah. When does that take place?
I think in a month or two. I was sending some answers to questions. We will see. But the competition is rough.
I'm sure it's stiff on the international for sure. all right. Well, that's great. Let's get started with the regular part of the show. Hey, Mickey, I see something cool over your shoulder there. What do you have for your Prusa Printer pick of the week this week?
Yeah, kind of gave it away way too easily this time. But yeah, this is the Moon Lamp by Frank Deschner. He actually won an award in one of our designer competitions, the Lights and 3D Printing competition. And I actually tried to set up a second camera this time, so let's see if it actually pops up, because I need to really underexpose the picture to show you how it looks in person. But
yeah,
it is awesome. It just really, it's like a 3D lithopane or like a sphere lithopane of the moon.
Yeah.
But
that is nice.
Yeah.
At one time, I saw many of these, but yeah, it's always wonderful to see.
Dude,
go ahead, Mickey.
I've been seeing them online for quite a while. Oh, come on, cameras, right. Will you pick up? But yeah, it's like a really challenging print. It's the camera switch thing. Okay, it's like it's like a 50 something hour print, because it's just tiny little perimeters all over the place. So the printer never really, goes up to speed. I even managed to find a programmable light bulb at this size. It's E14, so it's pretty small. But I don't know. It's just awesome. I can dim it and more, and I can change the colors and everything.
Great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, the moon lamp kind of idea has been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like he made a really nice base that works with a easy to get IKEA bulb system and everything else, which kind of really tied it together. So,
and it's one of the cases where the designer, after he won, he keeps updating it. He made a new version and he added a a different diameter. Where is it? Yeah, so there's one stand, and a second one with the smaller hole. So he keeps pushing it to make it better, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, it's great. Very, very fun model. So I was very close to printing the same thing, but again, wasn't quite sure. Wasn't quite sure if I was going to if the bulb system that I had was going to work and how I was going to get the other bulb. So I was like, okay, I'm going to figure that out later. And so we almost matched up, but instead, I printed something that I could use. I'm lots of times building different kits or different things, and you'll get a pile of screws, but not always telling you what size they are. So this is a screw sizer. Who is it by? It's by Boogie. It's the metric screw sizer. So it does two functions here. You can slide your screws into the side and figure out what size your screws actually are in diameter if you have a whole bunch. But then you can also slide your screws into the top and it will tell you how long your screws are.
That is nice.
Super useful if you get a whole bunch of screws and some of your parts need a M3, 23 millimeters, and other ones need an M4, 8 millimeters, or whatever.
It can be sometimes a little bit awkward with calipers, digital calipers or something, because you're does the head include? No, it doesn't. But then you're so does what's the head of those screws? You can just use this tool. I guess it's faster.
Right, and
faster
and,
too.
And Yeah, and cheap digital calipers, sometimes, you know, if you're doing things quickly, they'll kind of lose their calibration. You'll need to recheck things and things like that. This can just sit beside you and you can measure screws. And I love that he included a little hang up hole that, you know, this could just fit on a peg on your pegboard and be ready to go when you need it for a future project. So yeah. That will be useful in my workshop for sure.
Awesome. Joe, what do you have?
So I have this awesome SLA crap.
Wow. Okay. Now I wish you had a second camera with like a macro lens or something, because so that's an SLA print, right?
Yes, that is an SLA print, but it is a tease because it's not published yet. And I've heard that it's going to be published during the show. Hmm. Is that right, Mickey? Yeah, so we will tell you more when it's up.
Yeah.
But I love it.
It's super cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to hide it somewhere in the apartment and have my girlfriend find it and scream.
I have the perfect meme song that goes with this model just so well. So I will. I mean, is it a slideshow? Oh, a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to add some servo arms and something to the model to make it. Oh yeah. To the song. Okay. This is 10 hours. I don't think we need to finish it.
Yeah.
That's a little past the length of our show for sure.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, those are cool. You can download all of those either currently or very soon in the crowd's sake from prusaprinters.org. If you're interested in any of those models. Okay, so we've got some news. There's all kinds of stuff going on, which is fun. New Prusa Slicer 2.3.1 is out. Native Apple M1 support. So if you're getting one of the new Apples, you don't have to worry about, you know, is it compiled for that or not. It absolutely is.
Joe, you have one of those, right?
Yes, I have, and I'm super excited about it because it is just so snippy and lots forever on battery.
I've got kind of a crazy question that you may or may not know. I saw the update yesterday from Apple that the new iPad Pros are out, and the iPad Pros have the M1s in them. Is there a potential of us getting Prusa Slicer working on that?
It's different systems.
I mean, they could definitely run OS X on the A12s. It doesn't matter. It is what Apple allows, and it is kind of shame that they don't allow you to run the full OS on the iPads. But for us, we need to migrate to OpenGL ES to run on these machines. Which, by the way, I think we are working on in the background, but yeah, the slicing will be fine. You could compile that. I think Mikolas may know, but we have builds for Raspberry Pi 4 right now.
Yes, we have an ARM build, and I mean, also speaking of, we have the Chrome OS. Like the Chrome OS build just uses the Linux app image. But we are making it better. Basically, we bought a couple of Chromebooks and we tried to run Prusa Slicer on all of them on like an ARM Chromebook, on an Intel Chromebook. And we hit some walls, like you had to install some libraries manually. And if you put like a lot of benches or something detailed on the build plate, the Gcode preview needs a lot of memory and the Chromebooks just don't have it. So the team is like really, or they already have improved that a lot. And I think in 2.4 it will be even better.
Yeah. So the Chromebooks they are big, especially in education. So that is that is a must if somebody wants to play with the technology and is kept away by the operating system. It's not that good. So we are working on that, but definitely, if I should quickly review the M1, it is very nice.
I've heard
and this.
A lot of tweets where people said that it's way faster than the, I mean, it makes sense, than the emulated x86 port that we had before.
Yeah, I I had like a full spec MacBook Pro 16, and this is faster. And nice. Just sips power. Very nice.
Backtracking tiny little bit. If you have a Chromebook, there's if you go help Prusa3D.com and you just type in Chrome, you will find the install Prusa Slicer article, and yeah, there is a guide for that. Right now, the pain is that you have to install a library from the command line manually. It's not a big deal, but it will go away in the future versions. Just so you should know. Yeah.
Fantastic. There's also new third-party profiles officially added to Prusa Slicer 2.3.1. So if you have other printers and are hoping that you can run Prusa Slicer and that they'll be, you know, profiles built in, you don't have to build your own profiles. They are coming, and there's new ones there. And lots of security and bug fixes, which is, you know, always great. Making things safe for you guys.
And I think we can tease a little bit what is simultaneously we are working on 2.4,
right?
And I think we can tease that this will have the painting segmentation of the model for multi-material printing and better supports.
I haven't actually played with that yet, so I'm really excited to see that pop on the dev server.
And dark mode, right? Dark mode's potentially coming.
For Windows, but you know that it is hacking because the Windows doesn't officially support it. So, but we are making a skin which will make it dark mode.
On OS X, and I believe Linux too, like it works perfectly because the system has support for it. So this looks pretty. I wish it looked this pretty on all platforms. Let me move this. On Windows does not have support for it, and there's chance that it will never have support for dark mode on Win32 applications. But yeah, so our devs sort of hacked it, and there is a thread on GitHub. I can paste this in the chat, I guess, in a minute. And you can actually try it yourself. I even have it running right now. This is like arguably a little bit ugly, but this is like the first just draft that our devs tried. Like, are people interested in it? Would this be okay? And there seems to be direction that yes, if you try it and you have feedback, please go to the GitHub thread and leave it to our devs. It's really useful for us. But yeah, on Windows, we will just sort of hack it this way. But people seem to like it, so I guess it's better than not having it at all.
Yes.
Fantastic.
That's that.
We also have new firmware for the Mark 3S, Mark 2.5S. So it's 3.1.0 RC2. So it's release candidate, not fully released yet. But that means that we need your help testing it to find out, you know, is it ready to go? Is it the full stable version? So we would love to hear your feedback. Improved XYZ calibration algorithm. So as you're setting up your machine and getting everything squared up and calibrated, new algorithm there, which supposedly is faster, right? And obviously does a little bit better.
Yeah, I think also the big thing about 3.10, and I think we all already revealed that a little bit, is not in the RC2, in the releases before that, really support for Prusa Connect and for print hosts. So any, you know, thing that talks to the internet and lets you monitor the print online. So really this version pretty heavily improves that. And yeah, it is in part because we are working on Prusa Connect. So the firmware also needs some changes to make it work awesomely together.
Yeah. Fantastic. In other news, did I just see we got some furry critters in the Czech Republic?
Yes. Yes, some time ago I was teasing on Twitter that we are getting alpacas for our behind our factory, and they finally arrived. Into Prague, and we are finishing our place for them, and we should have them in a week or two. and we will have a live stream of them.
Oh, really?
So
that's great.
Yes, actually, Michael, he managed that there is optical fiber coming to the show. Oh,
of course, there is.
With electricity, and there is a rack in there, so we can have cameras there.
I think we just found the three new hosts of the show, right? We'll just like start Bruce Alive every week, which is the alpacas running the show.
When it's
kind of fitting too, right? Like there's a black one, there's like a kind of reddy brown one, and then there's a light blonde one. It's like it's the three of us in alpacas. And so,
I mean, I can stream from there if there's fiber. So like I need to set up when it's like summer and really hot outside till the very evening. I need to set up outside there for one streamer.
Well, Mikolas. Well, I mean, we will definitely need to do a live stream from the alpaca.
Yeah, exactly.
With alpacas, because yeah. I mean, we will have internet there, so we will just sit in their chat with them together.
So if awesome. If you all thought that the Bernie mittens were great, just wait till the Prusa mittens, the Prusa alpaca mittens come.
Nice.
And we still we don't have names for them yet. So if you have some tips, I can guarantee that we will name them that way. But
Mark 1, Mark 2, and Mark 3.
Well, I would like to have something cuter.
Yes. Yeah, we'd love to hear your names on the alpacas. If keeping animals isn't quite your things, but keeping plants is, do keep in mind our gardening contest is running right now on Prusa Printers. There's just under 2 weeks left for you to get your entries in. So we'd love to see what you guys are making to keep your little plant babies alive. So get your entries in before it's too late.
I keep checking on it because
Alpacacino. Oh my god.
Yeah, if you have name suggestions, come on, like put it in the chat. Yeah. So 11 days on the contest left. Okay.
Our package manager. this is going to be very interesting. All right. So we've got a great guest with us this week. We have Zach Friedman, who is a YouTuber who makes all kinds of really kind of crazy, mixed up, fun
Beckian
projects.
Mentions. Yeah.
Yes. Most of them being a combination of 3D printing and electronics, and a lot of good stuff. So let's get Zach on into the show. I always wait till the time that we pull the guest in and the guest is like not there anymore.
Oh,
like
he was just
off
in the chat. What's up?
Howdy, Zach.
Hello, everyone.
So this is Zach Friedman. Thank you for joining us. We're super excited to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, you make kind of a crazy mix of different projects with 3D printing and electronics and all kinds of things there. And I kind of love that you do so many kind of wide range of things. How would you really describe your channel and the projects that you make?
Well, I mean, I make a lot of, it's fairly accurate. Most of my projects involve some electronics and some 3D printing. Most of my experience is in electronics. Most of what I make is like gizmos and gadgets, wearables, handheld thingies, just gizmos and gadgets. I try to make everything. I'm not going to be so pretentious that I say my stuff is useful, but I'd say it's useful style. The ideas that really rev my engine are things that could actually be used in real life. So like pretty much everything I make solves a problem, even if the problem is a very silly problem.
It's have you seen the Twitter that's out there? It's useless inventions, and this guy's making like,
oh, yeah,
he made the little like hot dog holder that like saves you from like having people watch you while you're eating a hot dog, and he made a smoke detector that helps prevent your smoke detector from going off by having a fan blow the smoke away from it. Detector. I kind of like see your projects as being like that, but like not to quite the level of ridiculousness. They are on the other side of useful, but like on the crazy side of useful.
One of the challenges. Beard compliment. One of the challenges of YouTube is really just figuring out a way to set yourself apart, I guess. Because there are many other maker YouTubers, and there are others that focus on the project aspect of making. So, like, I guess when I was pulling together the original idea for the channel and setting the our schedule, I decided to keep the projects a little less ridiculous and goofy and a little more like ostensibly practical, right? Because there are lots of I feel like there are plenty of videos out there about, you know, things that explode into glitter or shock you or let you drink coffee with a mask on and there's a lot of goofiness, and I kind of feel like there was a missing element of, if not practicality, that sense that like we could improve things with technology. There's kind of like this the Elon Musk factor of like people like to think that the world can change.
You do have one invention that the chat is now like almost like demanding, like who is this person, where is his heads up display, right?
Oh my gosh.
So if you haven't recognized Zach because he's missing like a piece, like it is him, he just looks a little bit just different, you know.
Oh, there's smooth than I expected.
Yeah.
there he is.
Yeah, there we go.
So I think that's a good example of like, it's kind of crazy, but it works. Like you read all your scripts from this heads up display, right?
Ah, my mic. The heads up display is probably the most misunderstood part of the show.
Okay.
A lot of people think it's a prop, but no, it's actually a critical part of the show. I use it as a teleprompter, and I'm reading sort of the script off. No, there's no way. Like those scripts are so freaking complicated. Like I can barely keep up with them when I am reading them in real time. There's no possible way the show would come together without some sort of prompter. The story behind how I started using it as a prompter is really is kind of funny if you're curious. So for the first the first two episodes in the channel are very old. They don't count. But for the first two, like the somatic video, the video about the data glove and the video about the neural networks, I did that the way I think most people do on YouTube, which is like, you know, memorize a few lines, read them. And it took like a week to record each of those episodes. It was a complete and total nightmare. So for the next episode was the wire circuits on boards video. And I just was racking my brain, figuring out some way to like keep on top of the script for that. And like, I went on Thingiverse or something, and I started printing parts for a teleprompter, and I realized that our tripod wasn't strong enough to like hold it. And I was just ripping my hair out. And I was doing this while I was wearing the heads up display, and I just stopped mid sentence. I was like, what is wrong with me? I was like ripping my hair out about how I would,
if there was a way to make a teleprompter
when I was literally wearing a display.
Yeah. Are you reading a script right now?
No, I'm wearing it because apparently people won't recognize me.
Yeah.
Oh man, the heads up display. It's one of those projects that I really want to share, but it's just not practical for anyone else to build right now. That's another story, but yeah. there are very few accessible high quality wearable displays.
Yeah.
Did you hack it together from some other, or is this off the shelf?
It's both. It started out as an Epson Movario, which is like one of those video headsets. It's like a Android video player, I guess, for watching dirty videos on airplanes. And I modified the hell out of it. Everything's been like rearranged. I cut it down to a monocular. I stripped out all kinds of parts. I did some stuff to like switch the left display over to the right because this one has the the right one has the accelerometer in it, but I'm left eye dominant. And there's like, I modified the base so I could like easily clip it to my belt. The enclosure is all 3D printed. I recently redid it in resin, which is, I haven't had an opportunity to feature that in an episode, but yeah, I recently redid it in resin and oh, it's so much better. The thin and light objects like this just are very tricky to print well in FDM.
Smaller nozzles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even still, like it's just getting a high enough layer adhesion that it doesn't make the print brittle is it's just really tricky. It's just one of those applications that resin's better for. But yeah, I attached it to this pair of glasses, and there's all kinds of funny stuff going on with it. It's running all kinds of software that makes it easier for me to control the thing like while we're recording. Otherwise, we'd have to constantly cut like me having to, you know.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, talking about like, you know, kind of this project, but as well as, you know, the other projects and the things, I didn't realize until talking to you, you know, before this show that you came from Fat Cat Fab Lab, that you came from a hackerspace in New York City. And like, it makes all these kind of projects make all the more sense to me, because these are the same kind of things that like a bunch of people sit around and come up with stupid ideas at a hackerspace and then just like pull them off. And you've kind of like condensed this into a YouTube channel, and you know, that's, I love it. That's great.
It's funny. The Fab Lab isn't my first hackerspace. Back when I lived in, Hoboken, New Jersey, I actually helped found the Maker Bar, which is still around. It's really cool to see something have a history. Anyways, one of the earliest projects I built there was a Raspberry Pi wearable computer, because we had Eben Upton, I don't know how to pronounce his name,
yeah,
from the Pi Foundation, come by and visit. This was like when the Pi 1 was shortly after its release. So I scrambled together to build like a wearable computer, and I had like, it was like a display from video headset mounted on like a coat hanger, and like the Raspberry Pi was just zip tied onto my belt next to a battery. Yeah, it's a bit of a hackerspacey project. Although I'll admit, the thing that got me continuing to build wearable computers was looking for clients. It's a lot easier to find clients to do electronics prototyping when you're walking around the meetup wearing a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good flex when you go to a meeting and you're looking at your heads up and you're all covered with wires. And even if they didn't do anything, it just looks hella cool.
You're the Android in the room.
I'm glad I had a second life now that I'm a content creator.
I'm sure you have like tons of other projects around you. I think you were preparing them before the stream. Come on, show us something.
Let's see. So I put up a poll on YouTube asking they only let you put a few things on it, so I couldn't put all the projects. But most people want to see something new, and I have a couple of interesting things I've never shown off in the channel before. I have shown this off on a stream once, but nobody watches the streams. Come on, who watches streams? So this is
585 people right now.
Cool.
It's a big bag of them. So this is the Singularitron smartwatch. This is a smartwatch that I built a while before starting the channel. Let me put this thing on. So this is 3D. This is like 3D printed. Has a lot of electronics.
It's a Pip-Boy.
It's pretty rad. It's basically a Pip-Boy. So it ratchets on like so.
Ooh.
And it's got all these features. So
that's good.
It's also got a vacuum fluorescent display.
Okay.
Sure, it's coming through. So yeah, I built this. I built this a while ago because the heads-up display thing was getting, you know, I was wearing a lot of heads-up displays, needed something new. So I built this for meetups and stuff, and it has this cool feature where each of these, so these are all sensors and things. This is like an infrared, infrared thermometer. This is a laser.
Oh my God, this is
You've got a flashlight, and this is environmental sensors and stuff. But each of these are cartridges, so I can pull it out. And
I need it.
Like slot in a new one. It's got this pretty cool system where like, the back of the cartridge has contacts printed onto the circuit board. And those make contact with these little spring-loaded brushes. So I can just mix and match and make new cartridges and add new features. And it's got a pretty cool animation when I it boots up when I install a new one.
And you never you never shared this?
I've never made an episode about it because I just haven't had an opportunity to. It's just there's just never been a good time to do it. It's
how you end up with the Batman.
It'll eventually I eventually have to make something about it, but there just hasn't been a good time to introduce it. It's the project itself is also very complicated. It's got two four-layer circuit boards. Each one of the modules is a circuit board. It's got like 15 3D printed parts. It's got how a many, vacuum fluorescent display that's been out of production for like a decade.
How many hours did you spend on this?
This was a fairly long project. This is a fairly long project just because the sheer amount of stuff in it, and also the it's all written in object-oriented C or C++, so like to encapsulate all the mini apps for the cartridges. I'd say I'd probably spent around 200 to 500 hours on this project.
Wow.
That's not counting time waiting for things to print. At the time I didn't have I think at the time I started this, I didn't yet have a Prusa. I think I still had a MakerBot, and it couldn't this is printed PETG. PLA, it wouldn't be strong enough. And it just couldn't handle it. So I was running this off of the Fab Lab. So there was a lot of time wasted, drinking beers while I waited for their printers to finish.
That's brainstorming. That's like where you get the craziest ideas. So that counts.
It detaches because an important part of building a project that's intended to be shown off is that people are going to want to use it. And this is a real challenge with wearables because you can't really take a wearable off and put it on someone else. So this was specifically designed to show off at meetups and stuff. Ooh. And to that effect, it just snaps off so people can, put it on their arm and make people believe.
Are the keys mechanical?
The original design did have mechanical keys, but I needed the extra room to put the battery back here. This is where the battery lives. Also, replaceable battery. Also, nice. An important feature if you're going to do bring this to meetups and stuff because you don't have time to recharge. So no, they're unfortunately just push button. They're like micro switches. No, they're tactile switches with a little flexible thingy over it that lets the light pass through. You can almost see you can see this little bit of texture on them. I put these little braille markers so you can figure out which button it is without looking. So
did you literally build this just because it's freaking amazing, or was there like a client or something?
No, this is a personal project. Nice. The pretense for this was just I needed something to draw a lot of attention to myself at meetups. Because before I did YouTube, I was an electronics prototyping consultant, and nearly all my clients came from trade shows, meetups, and just other things that bring the industry together. So I need stuff like this to draw attention to myself and get people talking.
It's the best resume if you just show this to someone who thinks about being your client. You developing anything, this is like awesome to show them.
I think it did well. It's one of the advantages of being in any hardware field, right? You always have physical artifacts that you can show off, and they just make a really, really compelling argument. Unfortunately, the downside of having a business marketed that way is that if some sort of major global event happens that keeps people from being able to meet up in large groups, it kind of compromises the business.
So I want to ask one more thing. Did you do the arm strap too?
No.
Or that is from something?
No, this is from the strap itself
shoes?
It's from an industrial PDA, like it's a wearable barcode scanner.
Ah.
So it's used by like factories and like logistics companies. It's really hard to design, especially wrist things. It's really hard to build things that attach to your body and are comfortable, but especially for the wrist because things like to turn, revolve around it. And this has this really clever design where it partially hangs over one side, and it's got this, so it looks like it's one strap, but it actually has a number of wires like has a number of wires running through it like this, so it puts even pressure. It's very difficult to design this stuff, and I figure it's just, it would make the project better to just get one off the shelf. Yeah, the temptation is always to design everything, but sometimes you gotta pick your battles.
Yeah, I agree. But it's amazing. How many modules do you have for this?
Let's see. Technically, there are seven. There are the four here: flashlight, laser, non-contact thermometer, environmental sensor. There's one with an SD card that's used for data logging, and I can also run USB rubber ducky like keystroke injection attacks off of it. there's one that's not a Geiger counter. It's like a it's been a while since I built this thing. It's a pin photodiode. I think it's like an alpha particle detector.
Yeah, alpha particle sounds right.
A dosimeter. I never got that working the way it should be. And there's a diagnostic cartridge like a little proto board that I use for debugging and testing stuff, and that runs like all the diagnostic scripts and other things. Each one of the cartridges, actually you can't see it because I put the little plastic shields. Each one of the cartridges has an EEPROM chip on it, and that's how it recognizes which is which. It'd be really nice to embed the app within the cartridge, but I'm not that good of a programmer. Maybe, although now that there's MicroPython, that might be a lot more practical. Yeah. A lot easier to bring in new code at runtime with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, some people played with it at our office, and they really, really like it. But it's not fast enough for firmware, but for prototyping, when you don't care if you use like super expensive micro, it's fine.
It's also running. It's running the teensy. It's basically a teensy 3.2 inside. It's clocked at, I think, 72 megahertz, which is, that's pretty fast for a watch with like a four line display on it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's working pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, when you are prototyping, it is much cheaper to buy expensive micros, big micros, and just use, you know, something you can quickly write and prototype in. But yes.
Developer experience is really important.
Yeah.
I've got some other nifty things. This isn't really a project. This is just something I printed. We've got the Firestone from the Fifth Element, my very favorite movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's worth one crate. It's worth one crate of arms. And the reason I'm showing this off is because I put this very conspicuously in my wizarding video and no one recognized and that really offends me.
Yep. It sucks when you put in like an Easter egg and nobody says anything though.
No, I even like tried to light it. Like, anyways, this is printed in wood. It's printed in wood PLA because it gives it that sandstone. You can even hear it.
Yeah.
Gives it that sandstone texture.
There is the guy who kind of first created some of the Kai Parathi, who created some of the first like wood. Filaments does actually have a sandstone like filament that gives even more kind of that feel and texture.
Yes, I remember this guy.
Yeah. It's Laywood was the first wood filament, and he does like Porolay and
I've got some Lay brick in there. It wasn't at the time I didn't have it. I bought the Lay brick for my last episode where I used every filament, but at the time I didn't have it.
Speaking
the truth is, that feels more like it feels less like rough rock and more like a smooth stone. So
yeah, he definitely had like a more sandstony one, but it was real crumbly. It broke apart really easily.
The Lay brick that I was using is semi flexible. I wasn't expecting that. It's actually like a tiny bit. It has a little bit of give even after printing it. Kind of cool. They have some really Lay filaments is some really funky filaments. There's some very silly stuff going on there.
Yes, I'm just looking at the website, and latest from June 2018 is Grow Lay, and you can grow mold on it.
What?
Why would you want that?
That's a feature?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm looking at it.
I mean, if you could grow moss on it, that would be kind of cool because you could, almost like a chia pet kind of thing.
Yeah, and it seems like grass can grow on it too. That is wild. Yeah. So I need to look into
A chia pet. That would be neat. We need a chia Joe.
They have one that like you put it in water after you're done printing, and it turns into like a sponge. You like print a sponge. They got one that makes like a felt texture.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get any of these for the video. I'm not sure if like there just aren't any North American distributors or if the company itself is making less.
They are tricky to get here in the U.S.
Speaking about all different filaments, Techniac in the chat is saying, "Show the Benchy box."
Oh man. Here's most of them.
Okay.
Yep. Here's most of the Benchies left over from the project. I say most because they're scattered all over the place. It was such a scramble to finish that. They're scrambled everywhere. But yeah, I've got tons of Benchies here. We've got squishy Benchies.
Very squishy.
This is very elastic TPE. We've got less squishy Benchies. That one's actually kind of hard to squish. We got color changing Benchies, we got metal Benchies. Any you're interested in seeing?
There are almost, I think, all Prusaman's Benchies that you could think of.
I had a bunch of
ASA one.
The ASA one came out beautiful. Let me see if it's in here. That actually came out to be one of my favorites. Oh, this is Galaxy Black Prusament.
Yeah,
so we got little flex.
Nice.
It was cool to see that under the microscope.
The Galaxy Black ASA. I was just printing with it and I smoothed like a flute and it's so smooth.
This is the polycarbonate blend. You got to answer the mystery. What's the blend? What's it mixed with?
That's the secret.
Come on.
But it prints well, right? Like, I think
it's
not even that hygroscopic as like other PCs.
Yes. And the carbon fiber version.
Oh, here it is.
Which took
a little longer than I expected for the layers to set. That kind of threw me for a loop. Here we go. Here's the ASA. Look at that shine.
Oh, you smoothed it. Nice.
Yeah, look how beautiful that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look at the overhangs too. I really need to get a webcam that does macro. But yeah, the quality of this is great. I have never printed an ASA before, and this came out gorgeous.
Yeah, I have a similar thing that I've been doing over many years where I have kind of the mascot for my old 3D printing meetup group, and I there's two of them sitting beside me right now, but I have literally hundreds of these printed in different materials and different styles and everything else. And yeah, there's boxes of
what's going on with the what's going on with the yellow one, the one in your left hand?
It was like,
so that's wire mode.
Oh,
that is from Cura, I think, right?
Yeah, that is from Cura. It is printed on one of our machines, but it's from Cura.
Cool.
That's pretty sweet. That's,
yeah,
now I'm thinking maybe I should have done like some make a made of Voronoi boat and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, like stock Benchy, like you know what to expect, right? So like it works like the benchmark. So
yeah, well, it is the benchmark.
It is the benchmark.
It is meant that way, and also that is why the license was chosen, that you shouldn't be able, you shouldn't modify it. So
yeah,
all of them are the same model.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you change the scale, you ruin the overhangs, right? Because you just change them, so no.
And do you know that if you print them correctly, they should, if you rotate them and go top to top, they should, I think, get together?
Oh, like the chimney and the...
Yeah, and the little box.
We find some more precise ones. Let's see. Almost.
I'm not sure if this way.
But I mean, okay.
Ah. Yeah.
Boat yin and boat yang.
Wow.
Oh man, I discovered all kinds of cool filament. We've got this one, allegedly antimicrobial. You have to watch the episode to see my my experiment on that.
Yeah.
Seen that.
Is it antimicrobial?
It's supposed to be. That's how they advertise it.
Right.
It's expensive.
These are super cool, Zach, and it's been great. Yeah, it's been great to see them. So what is your YouTube channel? Where can they find more of you?
Oh, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/Zach Friedman.
Okay.
Which you can see the spelling right there. Everyone spells it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I kept spelling your name with an H instead of a K. And so I've stopped. But if you want to see more of his benchies, check out his latest video on YouTube and all of his other amazing projects that are on there. And it was great having you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Just time Bye. Time for
oh, by the way, what about the Prusa XL? Everyone
sorry. That was good. That was good. I have to give him that.
All right. So we have our Prusa Live contest entries that we need to get to. I was afraid we were gonna have Zach keep on going there and we wouldn't be able to get to
time flew so quickly.
Winners.
Yeah.
I know it did.
It happens on the streams quite often. Yeah.
All right. So who do we have in third place this week, Mickey, for the Prusa Live contest?
We have Johannes van Roest. I'm really sorry that I probably terribly mispronounced your name, but that's a cool it's from a drawing, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, reading his tweet, it sounds like he's taking some kind of class to like improve his CAD skills. And yeah. He had to make a holder for these like a bird feeder essentially. And he made the fly-in diner for birds to land on.
It's just so cool. Yeah. And it's on Prusa Printers too, which is a nice bonus. So yeah, good work, Johannes.
It looks very nice.
So not only was it a very cool looking print, it's a great story that he designed this and is you know, making his CAD skills all the better. So super, super fun. All right. Who do we have for number two?
So at number two we have Dirtwolf and screen sharing. And it's the Metroid Chozo statue. And we just showed us this is the finished assembled print. Like, that's a pretty challenging geometry. Like, this is something I would have to think about for a little while, how to approach a shape like this, how to print it. Because if you just printed it like this, turn on supports everywhere, it will be, like, covered in supports totally.
It'll be a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we take a look at how he approached it, so the head got split, and then the body got basically cut in half.
Two halves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So, of course, still some supports, but this will be way, 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 way easier to remove, and then you just glue it together.
Yeah, it came out great.
Yeah, it's this picture especially looks dope.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was
very fun.
That was our number two.
And our number one.
And that's Mark Whedon, and it's this marble brass pot in a Moorish style. And take a look at that.
It is beautiful.
That looks
so he's using that marble filament in there that has those black speckles in it, and you know, just looks cool anyways. But then the combination with that coppery brass filament is
it's a cool combo. Yeah,
it is really great.
That's
very nice and clean.
Yeah.
Good to see filaments with kind of pretty drastically different optical properties bond together well, because I mean they're both PLA, but still.
Yeah, and it's not just different color, but the white looks kind of matte and the copper looks
shiny, exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It was really beautiful. That one was definitely, as soon as I saw it, okay, this is in contention. And yeah,
36 hours on the MMU, no interventions. Nice.
Yeah,
nice. Good.
There's very often times that Mickey and I go back and forth trying to figure out who's gonna take different first places.
Yeah.
and this week it was no question.
Yeah, so congrats everyone.
This is wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah, really, really great. So thank you everyone who entered. There were lots of great entries this week, as always. And remember, if you want to enter, just send us a tweet with tag #PrusaLive of a print that you've printed. It needs to be on the bed, or at least seen with your printer, so that, you know, we know that you're making it on one of our machines. We had some other great entries this week, but they didn't really fill the criteria of some of the things. So yeah, make sure that you have a shot with our machine, and yeah, tag it PrusaLive and you could win some filament. To those of you that did win, shoot me a DM, or I will look for you guys if I don't hear from you in a couple days, and we will get your filament over to you. So thanks for entering. Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left for questions, which is perfect.
So, do you have anything any accumulated questions from the week?
Go ahead.
Oh, good. Everyone seems to know everything.
Jason is asking if we have any more info about Prusa ambassadors and technician programs. So, the ambassadors, there is a forum post on forum.prusaprinters.com, I believe it is. Anyway, if you go to Prusa Printers and you select forum in the top, that's where you can find it. So there are some info about the ambassadors, the technicians. I think we are still working on the behind the scenes, getting the systems work, like how will we distribute replacement parts and stuff like that.
And how we will verify if we send the kit or a broken printer to check how well everyone repairs it. So there are still a couple of questions, and we are selecting a few people to do a test run with them.
We have Zanfero, I believe, in chat had some problem with your with his printer. Best way would be you can send an email to info@prusafree.com. But I would even say go to shop.prusafree.com, and there is a little chat box in the bottom right corner, and that's even quicker. So if you have any problems, and anyone in the chat with your Prusa printer, that's one of the things that you're buying is the support. So make sure you take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how many people don't realize that we have 24/7 chat support. So anytime you guys have problems, just hop on chat and they will help you out. We can answer questions, but those guys, that's what they do. They are pros at it. So just pop on there.
Yeah, I'm definitely partly forwarding many of the social media discussions there, because I honestly often don't know the solution, and they do, because they have seen it all the problems.
Yes. You know, one thing is to understand how the machine works and what might be wrong, but completely different skill set is how to communicate it and explain to people how to do it, how to solve the problem most efficiently.
Yeah.
So I do too. When some of my friends call me, hey, I have this problem. I just tell them to call the support because
same.
Doing it with me, because I don't know how to communicate how to do this or this, especially over the phone. I just tell them to go to our support. It's much faster than me.
Who was it in chat? Balu was asking about the supports that I teased. So Prusa Slicer 2.3.1 was released, but 2.4 has been worked on in the parallel. And
Mikolas, I haven't seen this one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's your tweet?
Yeah, it's my little tease of the supports. I mean, to be fair, the geometry was really nice for it. This would print really nicely even with the current support, but I know that one of the things that especially Vojta, the lead dev, is trying to change a little bit is the way that supports are generated, not essentially making a new super tool. We have the paint on supports, it's about as good as it gets, but what does the algorithm generate? So we'll see how that turns out, but the developer builds looks really promising, so that's nice.
There was a question, of course, in the chat about any upcoming news about Prusa Connect. And as we mentioned, some of the new updates to the firmware are specifically there to start enabling some of the sides of Prusa Connect. So it's in the works, and we are definitely getting there.
But some private beta testers have it right now.
Yeah, they're about to get it. We got in touch with a few of them, but yes, I would say it's still like pretty early. Like it's progress, but yeah, it still needs some needs some work.
Yeah, we need to do some more teasing, Mikolas.
We can do some more teasing. I mean, it looks pretty nice already.
Yes.
So what do we have there? Fuzzy skin. Wink, wink. I didn't say anything. Prusa Slicer 2.4.
Someone posted some photos. They already grabbed an early build of Slicer and built it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to.
We're showing some off.
I don't want to guide anyone, but you know, if you go into the dark mode thread, maybe there's like a build shared in there. just saying.
I love Fuzzy Skin, and I am so happy that we are implementing it. I think it's a great way to add tactileness to certain models without having an SI program it in. So.
Well, I'm talking with Wojciech to add textures to the models for years. Mikolas is my witness.
Ida Maker has done it now, and it will look like they've done it first, but. Yeah,
well, they've done it first, Mikolas.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a really cool technique, and it's something that's like computer graphics has been using for decades now. You know, using normal maps to fake the make the model look like it's really detailed, even though it's like 200 triangles. So we can make something similar in 3D printing too, which is super cool. Tree supports, yeah. Oh, I don't think not yet. It's you know, there are so many things that, you know, when you have 10 things you would like to do, you can only pick a few. So I don't think that's something that we're working on at the moment.
People are asking if there's a timetable for a stable firmware 3.10.0. That depends on how much you guys test it and feedback to us.
I mean,
let us know.
It is in RC2 right now, right?
Yeah.
So I would assume like we're talking like days or like weeks at most unless
likely we will be discussing it being live on the next show, but.
Yeah, I mean, unless of course the devs discover something that like you know is kind of complicated to fix, that can of course happen, so it's not set in stone, but most likely pretty soon. And then of course the questions about Super Pindastok and Satin Sheets. So Satin Sheets, they are coming at pretty steady pace. If you have turned on the notification, it comes like every week or something. The Super Pinda is a little bit worse, but I think the original estimate was something like the end of April, and end of April is approaching, so maybe. I'm honestly not sure right now. If you set the notification, you will get the email. So that's I know it's a little bit of a pain, but we only have so many right now.
Checking Discord to see if there's any.
Okay.
Any questions there? Nothing really.
Will ironing stay in Prusa Slicer? I mean, yeah, we're not removing it.
What sort of question is that?
We are improving it. If you remember in the release video, I teased like ironing all layers, and that is something that now has been added. So we are testing it for transparent prints, and it's looking really, really cool. Like clear PETG, when you iron every layer, it looks amazing. Though imagine the print times, like it's
ages.
It's ridiculous. Like I for just for the jokes, I made a cube, max volume 50 microns, and I ironed every layer 100% infill. Like guess how long that was about to take?
A year.
More. Like, like way more. Like,
I got a question on Discord real quick about how you actually get to live chat support. The chat support is once you go to the eShop, a little chat button will show up in your lower right hand corner of your screen, but it's not on the main Prusa page. Yeah. It's shop.prusa3d. Yeah.
You need to be on the eShop. If you are on prusa3d.com, you will not see it. This is not in the eShop, so it is on the eShop. So shop.prusa3d.com, and it is right here. You just click it. And yeah, if you're logged in, I think you don't even have to fill this, but you just fill your name and email. And yeah, you can just chat. It's no bots. It's real people.
It's real people
sitting here ready to help you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our show for the week. We appreciate all of you guys joining us. And you know, thank you very much to Zach Friedman for joining us also.
That was fun.
We will see you guys in. And can't wait to talk to you guys then. So keep printing, stay safe. We will see you guys soon.
Bye. Thanks for watching.